Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations, Text 21. Danvantari
Danvantari
Cha,
Cha
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan
Swayam Eva,
Eva
Kirti
Kirtir
Kirti
Kirti
Namna Mrinam
Mrinam
Puru Puru Rujam
Puru Rujam
Ruja Ashu Hanti Yagye Cha Bhagam
Amrita
Ayu Ava Avarunde
Ayushya
Vedam
Vedam
Anushasti
Anushasti
Avatirya,
Avatirya,
Loke,
Loke,
Danvantarishcha Bhagavan Swayam Eva Kirtir,
Danvantarishcha Bhagavan Swayam Eva Kirtir,
Nam Nanrinam Pururujam Ruja Ashuhanti,
Nam Nanrinam Pururujam Ruja Ashuhanti,
Yagyecha Bhagavan Amritayur Avavarunda
Yagyecha Bhagavan Amritayur Avavarunda
Ayusha Vedam Anushas Yavitirya Loke
Ayusha Vedam Anushas Yavitirya Loke
Danvantarishcha Bhagavan Swayam Eva Kirtir
Danvantarishcha Bhagavan Swayam Eva Kirtir
Nam Nanrinam Pururujam Ruja Ashuhanti
Nam Nanrinam Pururujam Ruja Ashuhanti
Yagyecha Bhagam Amritayur Avavarunda
Yagyecha Bhagam Amritayur Avavarunda
Ayusha Vedam Anushastya Vitirya Loke
Ayusha Vedam Anushastya Vitirya Loke
Danvantari
Danvantari
The incarnation of God named Danvantari
The incarnation of God named Danvantari
Cha
and
Bhagavan
The personality of Godhead
Swayam
Eva
Personally himself
Kirti
Fame personified
Namna
By the name Narinam
Puru Rujam
Of the disease living entities.
Of
Ruja.
Diseases.
Ashu.
Very soon.
Hanti. Cures. Yagye. In the sacrifice. Cha.
Also.
Bhagam.
Share.
Amrita,
Amrita
Nectar,
Nectar
Ayu,
Ayu
Duration of Life
Ava
From
Avarunde
Obtained
Ayusha
Of Duration of Life
Vedam
Knowledge
Anushasti
Directs Avatirya
Incarnating
Loke
in the universe.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Lord in His incarnation of Danvantari very quickly cures the diseases of the ever-diseased living entities simply by His fame personified. And only because of Him do the demigods achieve long lives. Thus the personality of Godhead becomes ever glorified. He also exacted a share from the sacrifices, and it's He only who inaugurated medical science or knowledge of medicine in the universe. Purport. As stated in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, everything emanates from the ultimate source of the personality of Godhead. It is therefore understood in this verse that medical science or knowledge and medicine was also inaugurated by the personality of Godhead in his incarnation, Dhanvantari. And thus the knowledge is recorded in the Vedas. The Vedas are the source of all knowledge. This knowledge in medical science is also there for the perfect cure of the diseases of the living entity. The embodied living entity is diseased by the very construction of his body. The body is a symbol of diseases. The disease may differ from one variety to another, but disease must be there, just as there is birth and death for everyone. So by the grace of the personality of Godhead, not only are diseases of the body and mind cured, but also the soul is relieved of the constant repetition of birth and death. The name of the Lord is also called Bhavoshadi, or the source of curing the disease of material existence. Dhanvantarischa Bhagavan Swayam Eva Kirtir Nam Nanrinam Puru Rujam Bruja Ashuhanti Yagyecha Bhagam Amritayur Avavarunda Ayusha Vedam Anushastya Vitirya Loke. The Lord, whose incarnation of Dhanvantari very quickly cures the diseases of the ever-diseased of the entities, simply by his fame personified. And only because of him do the demigods achieve long lives. Thus the personality of Godhead becomes ever glorified. He also enacted a share from the sacrifices, and as he inaugurated the medical science for the knowledge of medicine in the universe. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasad Vidaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Kauravani Bajarne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatyate Siddharana. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that Vedaischa Savaraham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krid Vedavid Eva Chaham, that Krishna has compiled the Vedas. He's compiled the Vedanta, and he's also the knower of all the different Vedas. So Veda means knowledge, and ultimately knowledge means how to become free from suffering and attain real happiness. So the Vedas give us direction how to avoid material suffering and how to achieve ultimately spiritual happiness. So part of that knowledge is explained here as the Ayurveda. Ayu means life, and Veda means knowledge of life. Modern science, modern medicine is called allopathy. The allopathic is the science of death, how to kill things, in contrast with Ayur, how to bring about life. In any case, in order to achieve life, we have to destroy things which are preventing us from achieving life. So even Ayurveda has its aspect of killing or destroying, but the main focus is on achieving better consciousness, better physical ability, stamina, or whatever, strength. Bhagavad Gita Krishna has said that there are different qualities of food and the mode of goodness. The first thing he says is Ayur Sattvam Balaroga Sukapriti Vivardana, that Ayu, it gives duration of life, increases the duration of life. Ayur Sattva Balaroga gives strength and frees one from disease. Sukapriti Vivardana. So such food is dear to those in the mode of goodness. Ayur Sattva Balaroga Sukapriti Vivardana Rasa Snigna Sthiriridya Ahara Satvika Priya. So such foods are juicy and fattening and pleasing to the heart. On the other hand, Katvamla Lavana Yushna Tikshna Ruksha Vidahina Ahara Rajasasyesta Sukha dukkha sukha maya prada. So that food which is katu, which is too bitter, katu amla, which is sour, katvamla lavana, too much salt. In other words, typical devotee diet. Vamla lavana yushna, too hot, tiksha, burning. And which is dry, katlamla lavana yushna, tiksha ruksha vidahina, haras rajasasyaista, dukkha, and which ultimately produces unhappiness, shoka and misery, and toxins. So, such food is liked by those people in the mode of passion. And in the mode of ignorance, there is yatayama katarasam putipuri shitam chaya putishta apita medyam bhojanam tamasa priyam. So food liked by those which are yatayama, cooked more than 3 hours before being eaten, katarasam, has no taste. The taste went away. Puti puyushitam chayat, and which is producive remnants, uchista pichamedyam, and untouchable things. Such food is very dear to the those in the mode of garhas. So it's not that everyone has the same taste in the material world. Everyone has a taste according to their consciousness, according to their faith. The material world is more or less composed of different types of coverings of the living entity. The living entity, though he's pure by nature, he's covered by different koshas. The first kosha is called anamaya kosha. So, anamaya kosha, the conception is, happiness is in association with this body. The more I can associate with this body, the more I can serve the dictation of the gross senses, then the more I become satisfied. Therefore, we find when people become very plump, they generally quite satisfied, because they associate with the body very intimately. It's nice and warm and comfortable. There are seven dhatus. The first, anyone know what the seven dhatus are? What's the first dhatu? No. Close. Called rasa. So rasa means generally sometimes associated with the skin, but it's the after food is digested, and the first product it turns into is called rasa. In the Western world they call it lymph or chyle or something like that. And then when that's converted by the bodily metabolism, its next thing is converted into blood, rakta. And after blood, the next thing is medus, which is muscle. And then after muscle is converted into mangsa, or fat. So, one generally would find that, first of all, people, if they don't convert their food into ras, if they have indigestion, then that rasa turns into waste product, which is known as kapha, or mucus. So the first symptom that things aren't going right in the body is that instead of, we get mucus, we get a cold. That's why people eat a lot, they get a lot of colds, and most of their food is coming out into a Kleenex. And if there's no rasa, then there's no energy, there's no feeling of enlivenment. So, this is anamaya kosha, dependence on food for existence, but it doesn't mean simply by eating we're necessarily going to get our food. The body also has to be in a certain state to be able to digest the food. If we don't digest the food, then we can actually die from starvation, even though we may be eating a lot. Sometimes they used to poison people by giving them apple pie with poison So one time they gave it to one politician, but his digestion was so poor, he didn't assimilate any of the poison. So it had no effect on him. So even to get poison, we have to have a certain amount of assimilation in our body. So lack of assimilation, that's known as mucus. And after the rasa is assimilated, then the next, by some metabolism, that's formed is rakta, or blood. In America, when I was younger, they used to have an advertisement for geritol. Geritol was people who had iron poor blood. So what's the symptom of iron poor blood? There's no enlivenment, invigoration. People are walking around half dead. Their face looks drained, all white. So this is a symptom of iron poor blood. So as ras gives a little invigoration, a little enlivenment, so rakta actually gives stimulation. Or actually, rasa gives a little stimulation, and rakta gives invigoration, feeling of alive. And by one of the types of metabolism, that blood can be turned into medas, which is covering the body, muscle, to allow us to do something. So we feel enlivened enough, invigorated enough, stimulated enough, then we can do something with our muscles. And in order to do something, there's medas or mangsa. Actually, mangsa means fat. Mangsa is flesh, and medas is the fat. So it goes mangsa, medas. So that produces a feeling of comfort, protection. So the mangsa protects us, we feel a little secure. And then medas gives us some feeling of warmth and etc. So, material world, generally, the emotional platform, just wanting to get warm. People feel satisfied if they're just warm. Sometimes I've done studies and people get married just so they can feel a little warmer. Cuddly. And after that, what's next? Does anyone know the next dhatu? Yes. Asti. The bones. So now we're feeling a little warm, cuddly. We feel a little protected, a little enlivened, invigorated, and stimulated. So the next thing is the bones. So we have to have some shape to do something. So the bones give us some shape, allow us to have some direction in life. And after that there is not only shape, direction, life, invigoration, stimulation, but the next thing is maj. Maj means bone marrow. There has to be some substance to what we're doing, some inner meaning to it. And then the final product is called shukra or artava, which actually gives us some lasting impression, some purpose. So these different dhatus, they're necessary to do something that even in the material world, either spiritual or material. In other words, if you don't have a body, it's very difficult to do anything in the material world. But if we don't have a gross body, we'll wind up in our subtle one. In any case, the conditioned soul has been offered a body in order to accomplish something in the material world, either spiritual or material. That's up to him or her, what he wants to accomplish, but he needs a body. And there's the process of having a body. So in human form of life, one has to have some knowledge of what is the basis of keeping the body. Just like when we're younger, our parents tell us, before you cross the street, then look both ways. Because if one doesn't learn these basic principles, he crosses the street and the rest is history. Previously, I guess in the jungle, mother would tell her child, you know, look both ways and watch for tigers. If you see any tigers or rhinoceroses, and you know, they cross first, let them pass by. So a modern man, he's done away with tigers and rhinoceroses, but he's invented a more dangerous entity known as the automobile. I'm sure rhinoceroses and tigers can kill as many people as the automobiles do. So instead of we have the modern asphalt jungle, where you have all kinds of two-legged animals and four-legged things going by, causing all kinds of disturbance. But one has to know the basic principle, how these things work, so in order to maintain the body. So Ayurveda is given also by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we can understand basically how things work, how the body works. So in Ayurveda, basically there's only a few major principles. One is that don't eat more than you can digest. Very esoteric principle. People have written books and books about it. And the other principle is be spiritually conscious or chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So they go together. Of course, if we chant Hare Krishna, we're actually happy, then it's much easier to follow the principle of don't eat more than you can digest. Or assimilate more ideas than you can actually digest also. Because we not only eat with our tongue and our teeth and whatever else, the digestive system, but there's also the mind is also eating. So sometimes the mind may take on an idea and it can't digest it. And it disturbs our mind, because we don't have sufficient intelligence to actually assimilate the thought or to get rid of it. Therefore, we wind up thinking about it all the time. I hate that person. I'm going to kill him. He did this to me 3 years ago. I never forgot it. There he is again. Oh, God. Why doesn't lightning come and strike him? So one may be thinking day and night, either out of attachment or aversion. So we can't digest the thought also. That's also mental indigestion. We have our physical indigestion and our mental indigestion. Of course, it's easier to find out when we're physically having digestion. There's all kinds of symptoms. After we eat, small cloud forms around us and everyone disappears. Or our tongue is coated, or we start burping, or whatever else. There's so many ways of telling if we physically have indigestion. So this is how the body works. If you have a fire, and the fire is very small, and you start throwing things into the fire, then you get a lot of smoke. And you think, well, something wrong with what I threw into it. No, there may be something wrong with the fire itself. It may not be big enough to burn someone. So generally, in modern society, people have faith that it doesn't really matter what you do. You can do anything, and if there's something wrong, you just take a pill and it'll cure it. What they don't realize is that taking pills don't really cure anything. They just cover the symptoms. And then finally, instead of getting indigestion, because you're going along as if life, merrily, 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 life is just a dream. You're just going along as if there is no consequences to one's activities, then instead of getting indigestion or a cold, one gets cancer or a heart attack or AIDS. So Krishna has arranged the material world in such a way as to give us feedback what we're doing. If we don't like the feedback, we just want to go along pretending that we're the enjoyers and the controllers and that we can bypass the laws of nature, then it's not that we actually do it. Is that the consequences simply increase and become more and more serious. So the Ayurveda is meant to increase people's faith that there is a God, there are laws of nature. Modern society is trying to deny any law of nature. They're claiming we can cure old age, disease, and death, although, factually speaking, there's been no progress, as we can see, in curing death. No one can stop their body from growing older, even for a moment. We may try to cover over the effects of old age, but actually we don't stop old age or disease. Disease, lack of ease is deceit. So who here can say they're perfectly at ease? Even in the military, they keep on saying at ease, men. They're commanding them, be at ease, as if they're at ease by the command. So everyone is in a dis-ease condition. We're sitting here right now. Some of the devotees, they can't stay awake. Just hearing the class is causing them unlimited suffering. Others, they're sitting against the wall because their back hurts them. Others are waiting for the class to end because their stomach hurts them. Waiting for prasadam. So many, and then there's so many different miseries. And everyone has their personal, private miseries. So, if someone can laugh for a moment, we can tell a few jokes during class, and people forget how much they're suffering, they think, oh, that was a good class. It gave me some realization. Took me beyond my suffering. Made me forget for a few minutes. So, the whole material world is meant... People are thinking progress means to forget our suffering, and that's what they call happiness. But the Vedas give us a clue that you can't get out of suffering. You can eliminate it to some degree, so we can ultimately go on with some positive activity. Too much suffering, people are just absorbing their suffering. Positive activity may mean karma or jnana or yoga, or the most positive activity is bhakti. Therefore, Krishna has given us some science of minimizing our disease, minimizing our distress. But it is actually quite simple. Unfortunately, people won't accept it, even the most simple philosophy, simple knowledge. As I said, in modern society, people think they can eat anything at any time, and it won't have any effect, because science will cure everything. They have a whole array of weapons against indigestion, Pepto-Bismol, and if that doesn't work, then you have aspirin, and you have antibiotics, and it goes on, surgery, it ultimately keeps on going wrong, you just cut it out and put in a plastic one. But ultimately we can see that people ultimately put in the plastic when the person dies. The plastic thing is working perfectly well. It keeps on going on. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the person left his body. But Ayurveda is there so we can get some understanding how the world works. Basically, that it's working under the laws of nature, which are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Asya dadana purusha dharma syasya parantapa apraapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartman. So those who are not faithful in this path, they cannot pay me, Krishna says. Or he says, ashradadana dharmasya ashradadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa apraapyamam. Chapter 4. Agyas Chashridanas Cha Samshayatna Dhanashiti Nanyam Lokasina Paro Na Sukham Samshayatmanaha. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not obtain God consciousness, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So this doubting, everyone is doubtful. Ultimately, the real doubt is whether or not I'm actually God or not, whether I can actually enjoy Him. The Vedic scriptures give us direction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead about everything in this material world so we can develop faith. Some faith in the directions of God. Mr. Scientist advertising the latest cigarette, because they don't have scientists anymore, they have cowboys and horses advertising cigarettes or naked women. Or they used to have Mr. Scientist. Ronald Reagan, everyone heard of Ronald Reagan. One of his original jobs was he would dress up in a doctor's uniform on television, one of the original television advertisements, and he would advertise that if you smoke cigarettes, it'll you know, you'll clean up your lungs and make you feel good. That is a cure for so many things like asthma and things like that. So because he was a good actor, later on they elected him as the president. But that was one of his original jobs on television, was dressing up as a doctor and advertising for cigarettes. But actually this is not the way things work, but people have to, just like if you go to put gasoline, petrol, into your car, most normal people don't also put it into their stomach. They don't think, well, I filled up my car, it seems to work well with the petrol. Why not just put it into my stomach too? As they say, one man's food is another man's poison. So similarly, everyone has a different body, and different foods will have a different effect according to the laws of nature. So when people see that, they see how intelligent, logical things are put together, and they develop faith in the person who's speaking. So the ultimate speaker here is Dhanvantari, or Lord Krishna. So the Vedic literature is all meant to help us develop faith in Krishna. Krishna is giving us knowledge. It seems to work. Krishna is saying 1 + 1 = 2, and it seems to work out. Mayan scientists, they say 1 + 1 = 4 or 5, and by some advertisement, people are convinced that they're right. But eventually intelligent people start wondering, it doesn't seem to work out. I don't seem to smoke cigarettes, my lungs seem to clear up. I seem to start coughing. Maybe there's something wrong with their philosophy. The original Coca-Cola had cocaine in it. It used to be a very popular drink. So it wasn't until later on, the early part of the century, that they took the cocaine out. So it was advertised as a digestive aid. Pepsi-Cola also. That is where the word Pepsi comes from. Dipepsia, which means indigestion. So they advertised that Pepsi-Cola may have had cocaine in it also. It was a good digestive aid. If you drink, you get indigestion, you just drink Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola. Medicinal. What's that? Yeah. Anyhow, little do they know it actually dissolves your stomach. Whatever's wrong in your stomach, it takes care of that and dissolves your stomach too. I've heard, I don't know if it's true, that if you put a tooth into the Coca-Cola overnight, it disappears. It takes away the yellow from your teeth too. In any case, this is, you know, people, they have faith, and if we hear from the Vedic literature, from Ayurveda, then people see that actually this is more reasonable, logical, consistent, and therefore they develop some faith in the philosophy in the Vedas. So the Vedas will gradually take us from karmakanda, how to maintain the body, how to improve our material situation, to Gyanakanda, to understand that we're not the body, that we're spiritual souls, to ultimately to the Upanishads, where we'll learn that there's a Supreme Person behind everything. Because the Vedas are consistent, logical, and full of all different explanations on every level, from Anamaya to Pranamaya, to Manamaya, to Vijnanamaya, and ultimately Anandamaya. By following the Vedic direction, gradually we develop faith in the Vedas. And faith in the Vedas ultimately means faith in the speaker of the Vedas, namely Krishna. Anad bhavati bhutani parjana anasambhava jagnad bhavati parjanyo jagna karma smudbhavan. Karma brahmo bhavandidi brahmakshara smudbhavan tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam jagne pratishtita. So Krishna says all living entities subsist on food grains. He never says all living entities subsist on nuts and bolts or stock market, shares in the stock market, or paper you know, gold coins. And we said everyone, basically, they need food. They say if you don't want an unwanted guest, then just don't feed the person. There was some person who, all his family came, it was a big reunion, and he was very generous, giving them all very nice prasadam. So it was such a nice prasadam, no one wanted to go away. So finally, he cut out salt. He didn't put any salt in the food, and then half his relatives went away the next day. They really got the hint, maybe he doesn't want us around. Then he cut out the chilies, and another quarter went away. And he kept on cutting out things, and finally, it didn't matter what he cut out, still there's one person left, so he just kicked him out of the house. So disease or unwanted guests, don't feed them and they'll go away. Because food, this is the basic principle for everything. Anad, food grains. And where do food grains come from? They come from parajanya, from the rain. Unless there's rain, you can't get food grains. And food grains, or the rain, comes from the performance of sacrifice. And sacrifice is born of man's prescribed duties. Therefore, the all-pervading transcendence is situated in the act of the sacrifices. They come from the Vedas. And the Vedas spring from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, coming to the spiritual platform is all based upon following the directions of the Vedas. Then we can come to a higher platform of consciousness. So this is all explained in the Vedic literature. Everything is consistently, logically, and clearly explained so that people can get a direction in life, either material or spiritual, factually make advancement, develop faith in the instructions of the Personality of Godhead, and ultimately develop faith in the Personality of Godhead himself, and understand what the actual goal of life is, namely to reestablish our relationship as a servant. The more we follow Krishna's directions, either in the Vedas, the Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, the Upanishads, or the Bhaktikanda, the more we follow those directions, the more we'll become a servant of Krishna, the more we'll be able to see how our life is benefited. And the more we deny Krishna's instructions, either out of willingness or envy or ignorance, then the more we'll see that we're put into a unhappy, diseased condition of life. So I think I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. You mean Manamaya and Vijnanamaya, or
yes.
We're also Pranamaya.
Pranamaya.
Well, Pranamaya is the energy, prana. So we have an energetic body just like we have this gross body. So the energetic body is directed by the airs in the body. We have five major airs in the body, known as prana, which goes up, apana, which goes down, samana, which maintains the digestion, jnana, which maintains the speaking, and udana, which circulates everywhere within the body. So these different airs actually move the body. We may have a gross body, but we need energy for movement. We have to have some energy. So the energetic body that actually moves the body is the pranamaya. And prana moves the gross body and also moves the energy called pitta or tejas by which we're able to perceive and assimilate things. And then above that is called Manomaya, which is the mind. According to Baladeva Vibhushan, the person on the Manomaya platform is actually the person who follows the Vedas. Because without following the Vedas, one is simply on the energetic or the gross body platform. So the mind means that thinking, feeling, and willing. And we think about things, so that thinking about things means that we have to use our intelligence. So the ability to discriminate how the material world works and what to do, That's on the Manamaya platform. And then Vijnanamaya means the actual understanding who I am, that I'm actually a spiritual soul, and what the material world is. It's different from it. Yes. Is there a culture in Western society?
No, so we can say a culture actually. Western society. Tendencies to do whatever and then just take some medicine and thinking that you cure that problem. So this is actually very responsible. And Ayurveda specifically teaches us that one is responsible of life. So because then it seems that it's very difficult for Westerners to accept the principles of Ayurveda because we were trained to be irresponsible actually.
Irresponsible. Well, we can also be trained to be irresponsible. It's painful to be irresponsible. I mean, we were trained somewhat to be irresponsible. Most people, if there's a red light, they stop. We haven't progressed so far that, you know, this, because we know we'll be punished if we don't. So some people want to deny the laws of nature. For instance, in many countries in the world, most of the people are overweight. Because they want to deny that there's some reaction for it. But even the medical scientists will tell them that this is not very good. People know if they smoke cigarettes, they're going to risk getting sick. But because generally people don't know of any higher taste, therefore they'd rather so-called enjoy temporarily than simply lead a life which follows the laws of nature, but doesn't give them that what they think is an enjoyment. So unless people actually understand things that there's a higher purpose, then they'd rather take some temporary enjoyment than nothing at all. So no matter how much knowledge they're given, unless they're given knowledge about some higher destination, some higher goal, they can't really change their habits so easily. Even if they follow Ayurveda, it's just so that they can get a better opportunity to enjoy. They'll fast for 3 weeks so they can eat more the next 3 weeks. So they can get back their digestion and really get into it. But unless they understand what the purpose in life is, then generally it's bhogatyaga, even if you have Ayurveda. But the difference is that at least in Ayurveda, if it's connected to the personality of Godhead, then they'll give some appreciation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's a very intelligent person, he's given us such a nice system. Unfortunately, in modern society, they give all the credit to the impersonal Brahman for creating Ayurveda. In the beginning, it was the void, and then he manifested as impersonal Brahman, and then he manifested Ayurveda. So that's very unfortunate. Yes.
This issue is one of the issues you bear. So when we say Hare Krishna, sometimes you feel very at ease. So is that a way to become healthy?
Yeah. Bhava Shri Chotra Mano Kirama Ka Uttama Shloka Punarna Varadat. So it says, Nivritta Tarashera Upagiyamanas Bhava Shri Chotra Mano Kirama Ka Uttama Shloka Punarna Varadat Pumavi Rajeta Vina Pashugna. So this is the actual remedy. According to Charak Samhita, the best way of curing the mad mind is to chant the names of God. And the best way of curing most diseases is to eat prasadam with respect and with love. So to chant the names of God with love and to eat prasadam with love, that's the main recommendation of the Charak Samhita. This is the medicine. Chanting the holy names and eating prasad in the right consciousness. So that's recommended in the Charak Samhita and it's recommended in the Bhagavatam. So if you chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, then you're a great Ayurvedic scientist. You've reached the conclusion. Yes.
You could also reveal that as it's important in the body to have the balance of these humors, also it's important to have balance in gunas and in modes of nature, that it's when sattva and rajas and tamas are present there. Is it kind of speculation?
Who wrote the book?
Dr. Vinodem.
Who?
Vinodem, Dr. Vinodem.
Oh. Well, the main, I don't know what they meant by that. As far as the balance of the gunas, why do you say you have to have a balance of the gunas?
She gives the example that the person, she gives the example of some people who become spiritualists and they're too much in the sattva, but then they are kind of, actually it's very easy then to slip into tamas again, because it's kind of tricky, one just forgets about being active, just more or less.
So that's not necessarily sattva. That's not our definition of sattva. If we look at Bhagavad Gita, we can see what sattva means. You know, principally it means to work according to the laws of nature, not to be attached to the results. It's a different consciousness. So there may be some necessity, for instance, for sleep. But a devotee, even when he's sleeping, he's thinking about Krishna, so he's not really asleep. So we're looking for pure goodness, and in pure goodness, you can do everything. Arjuna fought, but we don't consider that he fought in the mode of passion. He fought for Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So this balance of the gunas, we want to avoid the mode of ignorance and passion, and principally work in goodness, but we want to work in goodness. So they think goodness, because they're impersonalists, they think goodness means the stopping of all activity. But we're not impersonals, we're devotees. They haven't read Bhagavad Gita, at least they read the wrong one. Arjuna had the same misconception that they had. He thought.
She's talking about Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, she's
in. Gita.
Yeah, impersonal. There's 700 misconceptions, versions that are all misconceived. Not Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. She doesn't quote Prabhupada's, no. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai.